राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना किरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना किरबन चारी यमुना किरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना किरबन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Thank you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
पाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन विभूति फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री भक्ति सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। पतित पावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। गौड़ प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर वन एंटाइटल्ड क्वेश्चंस बाय सेजेस टेक्स्ट वन।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्मादस्य यतो अन्वयात् इतरश्च अर्थेष्व विज्ञस्वराट् केचिता तेने ब्रह्महृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजोवारि मृदाम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्मादस्य यतो अन्वयादितरश्च अर्थेषु अभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजोवारि मृदाम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो अमृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्मादस्य तो अन्वयादितरश्च अर्थेषु अभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजोवारि मृदाम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो नृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि
Anybody wants to repeat?
जन्मादस्य इतर्तुतको स्वराट् स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्मादस्य यतो अन्वयादितरतश्चार्थेषु अभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्महृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजोवारि मृदाम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ब्रह्महृदयादि कवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः
मृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा
देहो आदि यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा
महानाथेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि
महानाथेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि
माताजी
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकोकम् सत्यं परं धीमहि ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नन्नाजस्य गतोऽन्वयादितरतश्च जातेषु गोतराट् तेनी ब्रह्मविदायादिकवये मुह्यन्ति सूरयः तेजोवारि मृदां यथा विनिमयो यत्र विसर्गो स्नुषात् धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यं परं धीमहि
यु विल् नाट् रीड् वर्ड् बै वर्ड् मीनिङ्ग् विल् जस्ट् रीड् द ट्रान्स्लेशन् ओ मै लार्ड् Shri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval of all causes of creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Shri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सागर जातम् सगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तं सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजना सहितम् कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम् श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान् सगण ललिता श्रीशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते
गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम
हरे 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 कृष्णा. सो ए वार्म वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू इन दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास. एट द वेरी आउटसेट आई वुड लाइक टू एक्सप्रेस माय डीप सेंस ऑफ ग्रेटिट्यूड टू द टेंपल अथॉरिटीज फॉर गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक ऑन दिस एसोटरिक टॉपिक ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम टू एन एनलाइटेंड ऑडियंस. थैंक यू रुद्रनाथ प्रभु एंड बलदेव प्रभु फॉर एनकरेजिंग मी. सर्टनली देर आर मोर एडवांस एंड मोर ब्रिलियंट डिवोटीज हु आर सिटिंग इन दिस ऑडियंस एंड हु आर प्रोबेबली हियरिंग ऑनलाइन ऑल्सो, बट आई नेवरदलेस हैव बीन गिवन दिस सर्विस, सो आई एम डूइंग इट to the best of my ability, and I beg for blessings from Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled devotees sitting here, and those who are hearing also on the whatever, Zoom or whatever. So, I wish to share with you that some 3 decades ago, when Radharani Kirtida, my wife, who is no more, and I started coming to the temple nearly almost 30 years ago. At that time, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was going on. And from the 10th canto, the 11th and 12th were not handled. Straight away, the transition was again made to Janmadi Asya. It again started. So, I am glad to be a part of Janmadi. So how important and how precious is the Srimad Bhagavatam to Vaishnavas? So Srila Suta Goswami, who was in the audience when Srila Sukadev Goswami preached to Parikshit Maharaj, so he gives the answer to this question. How important and how precious it is. He says, Krishne Swadham Upagate Dharma Nana Jnanadi Bhisah Kalau Nashta Drisham Esha Puranarkaha Aduna Uditaha. He says that the Bhagavat Puran is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision, Nashtadusham, due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali, shall get light from this Puran. Then again in another verse, he says, Srimat Bhagavata Puranam Amalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahusyam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. Srimat Bhagavatam is the spotless Puran. It is most dear to Vaishnavas because it describes pure and supreme knowledge of Paramahamsa. So this then is the glory. There could be several more quotes which can be taken from Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Just as to worship Mother Ganga, we take water from Mother Ganga and worship her. Similarly, we have to resort to verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what one is trying. So Srila Prabhupada's purport refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti's comments, which I would like to read now. It has been a long purport, I suppose. So I'll read. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with original and pure sex psychology, Adirasa, devoid of all mundane inebriety. The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point for all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he says sex life predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of original fact. The original fact is the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man without information of the actual spiritual form of sex has accepted perverted material sex life as all in all. And there is a difference between the sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. The Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence. It will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities, fruitive actions, speculative philosophy, and worship of the functional deities inculcated in the Vedic verses. So, this purport is really wonderfully written by Srila Prabhupada, who refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's views also, comments also. So, I would also like to add that this purport is hope-giving. In fact, ISKCON is hope-giving, because it concludes here by saying that Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate unbiased reader. So we all have hope. None of us, particularly myself, can claim that, you know, we are very pure in our consciousness. Our consciousness is very much contaminated due to the environment in which we live, due to the yuga in which we live. So obviously, there would be no hope for us but for our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, who says that gradually we can be purified, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely important in the life of a devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam is an integral part of a devotee's life. We find that Srila Prabhupada insisted that the Srimad Bhagavatam be read in every temple all over the world. Why did he say that? Because he wanted everybody's consciousness to be gradually elevated. That is the purpose of ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that purpose has been sought to be, you know, realized through various, you know, lectures Srila Prabhupada gave, various purports that are so beautiful and so meaningful. So, sexuality is one of the fundamental drives behind everyone's feelings, thoughts and behavior. It is often viewed as taboo. Nobody wants to discuss it. Taboo topic. Though it has infiltrated in every part of the society. Every part of the society. There are advertisements, there are TV channels, cinemas, hoardings, etc. All saturated with sexual themes, stories, visuals, which have corrupted or polluted the minds of people. So, according to our Acharyas, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Every word, every sentence is Krishna. So this is a statement which needs to be borne out. So in this context, I remember a class that His Grace Vishwarup Prabhu gave. It was a Sunday class, I believe, some days ago. He said that when the Supreme Lord decided to go back to His own abode, Swadhama Gate, when He went, so at that time, the queens of Lord Krishna, they went into a state of utter despondency. They were inconsolable. They couldn't be consoled at all. They just couldn't come out of their despondency. Now, out of course, a sense of separation from the Supreme Lord, whom they loved and valued very much. So they just couldn't come out of it. So by Krishna's own arrangement, He pre-arranged everything. So all these queens of Shri Krishna, so many of them, thousands and thousands of them, he had 16,108 wives. So anyway, many of them came. They were brought to Vrindavan. And when they came to Vrindavan also, the place where Shri Krishna spent his childhood, even after reaching there, they were not in a happy state of consciousness. They were very much still depressed. So, Vishwarup Prabhu was narrating, they met there, you know, Yamuna personified Nadi, who is also a consort of Krishna. And Yamuna Devi suggested that the pure devotee of Krishna, Uddhava, he is residing here on the banks of Yamuna as Gurumalata. So you please invoke him and ask him to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was the suggestion, which was, I am quoting what Prabhuji mentioned. I have not read any of these shastras, but he said that then that way, you know, as soon as Uddhava was remembered, he emerged from the Gurumalata as a person. And it is described that for one full month, 30 days, Uddhavji narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as soon as he began the narration, the first words were, Janmadi Asya Yato. As soon as those words were mentioned, the queens who were so despondent, who were so miserable, they experienced the presence of Krishna immediately and they were enlivened. Their despondency was gone. Now, this is something wonderful that one can think of, and that way we can realize that to a devotee who is pure in his heart, everything, you know, every word in Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, non-different from Krishna. So this is the realization we can have. That is one reason why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to daily, you know, read Bhagavatam and hear Bhagavatam. So, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So this is what we chant every day. So this is what was given to us. So this is a narration which I wanted to include in this. So it is, now question arises, how does the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna view sex life? We are talking about sexuality in this theme, so I am more or less dwelling on that, not because it is my favorite subject, because it is, you know, the content of this whatever given here. So how does the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna view sex life? How do the Bhagavatas, you know, view the subject of sexuality? And what are the views of Mahabhagavat? And what are the views of Srila Prabhupada on this? So these are some of the points which in my own limited capacity I will try to touch upon. Please bear with me if I commit any mistakes. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord makes a statement. He says, Dharma aviriddho bhuteshu kamaha asmi bharatarshabha. Very important statement which the Lord is making. So many times we are contemptuous of people who indulge in sex. But what is sex? Actually, in its most purified form, it is dharma aviruddho bhuteshu. That which is not against religious principles, Krishna says, I am that sex. So how can we condemn or have contempt for this? We should not, we need not. And Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful comment on this. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, sex life according to religious principles, that is dharma, should be for propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offsprings Krishna conscious. Very crystal clear. So Prabhupada is not against sex life which is according to religious principles, nor is the Supreme Lord Krishna. So one, those who are grihasthas, who indulge in this kind of sex life in a limited, in a prescribed religious way, they need not have a guilty conscience if they are following the religious principles, if they are following principles of Krishna consciousness. It's a very, very important point. So Srila, Srimad Bhagavatam, we see when you go through Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam does not shy away. It does not shy away from discussion of sex lives of different personalities. If you go through Bhagavatam and you read some of the, you know, descriptions, you find that it is, Srimad Bhagavatam is very candid, very, very candid. It is objective, and most importantly, it is spiritually very instructive. It is not just brazen or candid, it is also spiritually very instructive. So as we see here in the purport, Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased leader. So gradually it elevates people. So we find that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the most prominent personalities who talks about sex life is Lord Rishabhdev, an incarnation of Krishna himself. He says, Pumsastriya mitu nibhavametam tayo mito rudaya grantim mahuhu atagruha kshetra sutapta vittay janasya moho ayam aham mameti. So very clearly Rishabhdev says that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of that misconception which ties together the hearts of male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusion and thinks in terms of aham mameti, I and mine. So this is the impact of those who are, you know, not grihasthas in the true sense of the word. Grihastha is one who keeps the Supreme Lord Krishna in the center of his life, grihastha life. As against gruhamedis, you know, who are just there in the social framework and they just have, you know, relationships, but there is no Krishna anywhere in the picture. So this is what is said. So that I and mine, this is my house, this is my wife, these are my children, this is my property, that, you know, concept arises from this bodily, begins with bodily attraction from the male for a female species. And this is there not only in human beings, it is in all species of life. Everywhere it is there, it is ubiquitous, everywhere you can find it. So it is nothing peculiar only to humankind. So then again in another beautiful verse, Rishabhdev says, Nayam deho deha bhajam ruloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam shuddhaye tasmad brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So in this Lord Rishabhdev says, he told his 100 sons, my dear boys, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form of form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerities to attain divine position of devotional service. By such activities, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Brahma Saukram Anantam, that is the word Rishabhdev uses to describe the happiness that one can get. So, so you find that Rishabhdev is preaching to his 100 sons. So one may wonder, with the Kali Yuga mentality, one may wonder, 100 sons preaching. So how did these 100 sons of Rishabhdev fare? If Rishabhdeva had not imparted them, you know, spirituality, what would they have been? But they were all great souls, great people. So Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, how did these, you know, 100 sons, you know, fare? Anyway, before going that, I would also like to comment on what is described in the 11th canto about the same thing. What Rishabhdev says, the same thing is also dealt with in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukhdev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, Konurajan Indriyavan Mukunda Charanambujam Na Bhajet Sarvato Mrutyur Upasyam Amarottamaihi. So Sukhdev Goswami says, my dear king, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda? Who is worshipable even for the greatest liberated souls? So, by the mercy of Supreme Lord, we are awarded a human body. All of us have been awarded a human body. So, in the 11th canto again in Uddhav Gita, there is that beautiful verse, Rudehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam mayanukulena nabasvateritam puman bhavabdhim nataretsa atmaha. So, we have got this human body, and here it is said that Indriyavan, you know, and we have different Indriyas. All of them, you know, chase after, you know, bhoga. They all want to enjoy that, and that is what we are all made up of. So we have to use this human form of life for spiritual purposes, but which we don't do. So the condition, generally the conditioned souls use their senses in a false attempt to exploit material nature for sense gratification. But our material senses and their objects are temporary, and it is not possible to become peaceful or happy in an attempt to gratify our senses. So these are the comments of the eminent disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the comment on like this. So we see, therefore, as stated by Rishabhdev, a man is attracted to woman. So they comment here that being sexually aroused, a person marries a woman and soon there is a family that requires ever increasing support. In this way, he is innocent and simple life is ended. He spends major part of his life working hard like an ass to support the demands of the family. So these are some of the comments that are made by the Mahan disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the 11th canto. So Kapil Dev in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says something very, very pertinent, which is pertinent to our society as of now. He says, Evam swabharana kalpam tatkalatradaya tatha na adriyante yatha purvam vinashasvago gojaram. Very relevant verse for us. Actually, he says that seeing him unable to support them, his wife and others do not treat him well. The same respect that was given before, that is not given. So what Kapil Dev is stating here, Bhagavan Kapil Dev is stating here, is that when one is married to a woman and they have children and all that, so until such time as the person is able to earn a living, earn something, he is given some respect. He is treated with respect. But no sooner than, you know, his ability to earn, you know, stops. This is a grim reality of the present society. Stops. Then immediately, you know, they start, you know, disrespecting him and discard him. And Kapil Dev gives a beautiful example. He says that Vinashaha iva gojaram. Vinashaha means the farmers. How do the farmers treat an ox which has become old and no longer, you know, serving in the field? How do they treat him? With great indifference. So, similarly, a person who all through life, you know, worked hard to earn money and maintain the family, took after the son, maybe sent them to US, this, that, all that. Everything he has done. But when he becomes old, what happens? They lose respect for him. They absolutely no respect. they send him to an old age home or whatever. So there is total disrespect. Just like an ox is disrespected when it ceases to be useful. So this is, whether we like it or not, whether we appreciate it or not, this is the destiny of all human beings. Especially, I'm not talking about exalted brahmacharis, I'm talking about those people who try to live even a grihastha life. So when they become old, they cease to be useful, they are discarded. They are discarded, just like that. So, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, in their purport, make another very interesting comment. They say that nowadays people strongly resent the trouble of caring for the lonely and neglected after a life of hard work for the loved ones. So modern trends are this, that some people desiring material sense gratification but hoping to avoid inconvenience of family life try to enjoy free sexual relations. Free sexual relations. They don't want to have the responsibility of becoming a married man and grihastha. So they have free sexual relationship with women and lead a very, very immoral kind of life. So this is a comment made by the disciples, exalted disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I thought it is worth reiterating here. So through birth control and abortion, they eliminate disturbances of caring for children. If you have to care for children, then you have to spend money, you have to take responsibility. So they don't want anything of that. Just have, you know, licentious behavior, have free, you know, relationship with women and enjoy, you know, life, you know, king size and not worry about the consequences. That has become the attitude of, you know, the society, which is really very, very dangerous. So, in this way, they hope to enjoy material sense gratification without any material impediments. By laws of nature, however, such persons become bound in a network of sinful reactions by avoiding their real duty to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thoughtlessly causing violence. Mrityu suddenly appears, startling such confident sense gratifiers. So they go through life, they enjoy life, king size, and then one fine day, they are struck by death. Death, time and tide wait for none, so death comes one day and, you know, they are stuck. So that is the fate of such sense gratifiers. So this has been highlighted. So now comes I should have mentioned this earlier. So how did Rishabhdev's 100 sons, you know, fare? So Srimad Bhagavatam describes, the 100 sons which were born from Rishabhdev, you know, so they, how did they lead their life? So one can go through that. The oldest among Rishabhdev's, you know, 100 sons was Bharat Maharaj. Now Bharat Maharaj, he was a great king and emperor, samrat, who renounced everything that he had and he went to the forest to lead a life of spirituality. We won't go into the details because it will take me away from the subject. But Bharat Maharaj, you know, somewhere on the way he became such an exalted devotee that he was in the bhava stage. And then by the will of providence, you can say, or by his own, you know, lack of association with devotees, that he became attracted to Harin, he became attracted to a doe, and in the process he became one who was relentlessly performing, you know, worship of the Supreme Lord, became attached to that doe, and his life, you know, came to a standstill. Then he had one more life as a Harin, and then, you know, he had one more life as Jadabharat, and he purified himself. But he was a great king. So in the purport it is mentioned that he was so great that the Bharat Varsha is named after that king. This is Bharat Maharaj. That was the first son. So then 9 other sons of Rishabhdev were widely known as Navayogendras, whose glories are sung in the 11th canto. One after other, they answer the questions of Nimi. Nimi Maharaj, beautiful, you know, answers they give. So there were the... So they were well versed in knowledge of self, fixed in their goal and always striving for perfection and preaching. This was their goal. 9 other sons took on the duty of Kshatriyas. So they became, you know, rulers. They lived Krishna conscious Kshatriyas, not just ordinary Kshatriyas they became. His other 81 sons became Brahmanas, Brahmanas, and they were expert both in Smriti Shastras and doctrines and also performance of sacrifices. So 100 sons accounted for, all of them, you know, doing well. So you can imagine, therefore, he's setting an ideal example for us. No, we may have one son or two sons or one daughter, whatever, you know, what we do with them in our modern society and what Rishabh Dev did with his 100 sons is something for us to ponder over, something that we should think over. So, then we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. He had 16,108 wives. I won't go into the details, but he had each wife, you know, from each wife, you know, he had 10 sons and a daughter, so you can imagine how many devotees. So he is the Supreme Lord himself, everything is sarva karana karanam. So we won't go into the details of that, but vivid description of this is given in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, how, you know, Lord Krishna handled his 16,108 wives. That is very nicely described in that, to such an extent that, you know, Narad Muni felt like, you know, probing how, you know, Krishna is handling this. That is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is an engrossing scripture. You can look at it from various perspectives, and every perspective gives you some joy. There is nothing that is not joyous. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada comments that giving birth to children with transcendental qualities or godly tendencies is known in Vedic scriptures as Garbhadana Samskar. So our temple has published a Grahastha manual which you can go through, in which there is Garbhadana Samskar also has been described. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport to Bhagavad Gita 16.1 and 3, he comments. I would like to verbatim quote, because Prabhupada's comments are very, very penetrating. To beget a child in godly atmosphere is known as, known in the Vedic scriptures as Garbhadana Samskar. If the parents want a child in the godly, with godly qualities, they should follow principles recommended in the Shastra. So sex life for begetting a good child is Krishna himself. This is how it is mentioned. Since, you know, the entire theme is about sexuality, I thought I would dwell upon these points. So Srila Prabhupada comments, sex life is not condemned, provided the process is used in Krishna consciousness. So this is something which you can tell to all aspiring, you know, devotees who want to enter into grahastha life. Provided the process is used in Krishna consciousness, those who are in Krishna consciousness at least should not beget children like cats and dogs. That's what Shabdev is talking about. But should beget them so that they become Krishna conscious after birth. So the Garbhadana Samskar is performed not after the birth of the child. It's performed as soon as a woman conceives. So this is there, been, you know, going on from time immemorial. The first beautiful example of I won't call it Garbhadana Samskar, but the first beautiful example of a son who was, you know, born in a Krishna conscious way is none other than Kapil Dev himself, Kardama Muni himself. No, Kardama Muni is the father of Kapil Dev, so I got a little bewildered. So Kardama Muni, he was the son of Brahma, one of the sons of Brahma. So when Brahmaji asked him, you know, to become a Prajapati, what does Kardama Muni do? He comes and performs penance for 10,000 years. Now you will wonder why 10,000. In Satyayuga it was possible. So he performed penance for 10,000 years. And after his performance of penance, who comes with a marriage proposal for him? The Supreme Lord himself. The Supreme Lord comes and tells him that Kardama Muni is little, you know, apologetic when he sees the Supreme Lord in all his resplendence, you know, he's standing before him, he feels overwhelmed. And then he feels a little guilty also, you know, I have performed penance, not, you know, for spiritual thing when I'm asking for a wife. But the Supreme Lord, he reassures him. He says that what you are doing is perfect, nothing wrong. And soon, you know, you will have Swayambhuva Manu coming with his wife, and he will come with his daughter Devahuti, and you know, you should marry her. She is compatible with you. He talks about compatibility also. So then that, I won't go into details, because each one is, you know, is a fascinating thing. This chapter in, you know, Bhagavatam is fascinating. So Kardam Muni was such a great sage with lot of self-control and everything. He marries Devahuti. There are so many things in that, I won't go into details, but the marriage between Kardam Muni and Devahuti culminates, without going into any details, in his Devahuti giving birth to 9 daughters. So as soon as the 9 daughters are born and 9 daughters grow up, immediately Kardam Muni is ready to go become a vanprastha. Says that I am leaving, bye bye. But Devahuti begs, pleads. She says in a very beautiful verse, she says, Saham Bhagavato Nunam Vanchita Mayaya Drudam Yat Vimuktidam Prapya Namuk Mumuksheya Bandhanat. So Devahuti is she becomes morose. She doesn't oppose, because that is a proposal he had made before marriage. So she accepts that. But she is so unhappy that having such a wonderful, you know, person, wonderful husband, such a great exalted devotee, who is capable of vibuktidam, muktim dadati iti, one who can give liberation. I had such a great husband, and what I have done with my life, you know, I just enjoyed sense gratification. So she is remorseful. But Kardam Muni is very, you know, kind-hearted. He tells his wife, don't worry so much, don't brood over this so much. You have yet to give birth to the Supreme Lord's, you know, incarnation, Kapil Dev, yet to give birth. So he facilitates, you know, he tells her a vidhi by which her womb can be purified and can welcome the Lord's, you know, plenary expansion, Kapil Dev to come. Kapil Dev is none other than one who gave Sankhya Yoga. And then Devahuti becomes a disciple of her son, Kapil Dev. That's beautifully described. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful. So she becomes, you know, completely in Sankhya Yoga. That is the story. So this way, what does a Mahabhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, think? Sorry, Prabhuji, if I am exceeding time. I have things to say. Anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj, what does he think of? I'll cut short without the quotations. So he compares sex life to rubbing of two hands, an itch. So when there is an itch, you know, we have to scratch. So he calls sex life an itch. So Prahlad Maharaj. So we won't go into the details. So so sex life is very entangling. It's very, very entangling. So, an outstanding and inspiring feature of Srimad Bhagavatam is that personalities who show propensity for sense enjoyment are not condemned forever. Kardam Muni did not condemn Devahuti. I could have given you spiritual experience, but you asked for, you know, some other experiences. He doesn't say that. He doesn't condemn. He encourages her. So this is how it is. So same is Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very compassionate. It helps one to get over the weaknesses which Prabhupada refers here. So in sense enjoyment are not condemned forever. So Krishna is Karuna Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavatam also is Karuna Sindhu. Whereas the weaknesses and frailties exhibited by great personalities are described graphically. Bhagavatam describes graphically the weaknesses. But at the same time, how eventually the person, you know, perfected his life, that is also described in great detail. Thus, it is factual, as I mentioned, it is objective, so it describes so many things. So there are so many examples, but how people, you know, who became victims of sexuality, how they eventually came out of that phase, that is also very beautifully described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, briefly to touch upon, in the fourth canto, there is the story of Prachinibari. So, Prachinibari was a great king, and his sons were very, very great. He was a great king, but he was, used to, performance of sacrifices in which animals were killed. And he did this as a fruitive activity. So Narad Muni takes compassion on him and says that, Prachinibari, you are a great king, but you are performing so many sacrifices in which, animals, are being slaughtered. Do you know what is going to be the consequence of that? Big, big chapters on this story. So Prachinibari, has been leading so-called pious life. Performance of yajna can be a pious activity. But then he has slaughtered so many animals. So then, Narad Muni, such a compassionate, pure devotee of the Lord, that he, tells him a story which is called an allegorical story. Story of Puranjan. That is described in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. So how Puranjan, succumbs to sex life and how eventually he comes out of it. That is told to, Prachinibari. So it is like, a mother-in-law, who wants to instruct the daughter-in-law, doesn't tell the daughter-in-law directly, you do this, you do that. What she does is she tells her daughter in the hearing of the daughter-in-law. Like that, Prachinibari Ishat, he was, told the story of Puranjana. And Puranjana's story is so vivid that Narad Muni goes to great extent to describe it. And then finally what happens? Finally what happens is that Prachinibari realizes that he is spending his life, whereas his sons, have Pachetas, they have reached the highest position, exalted devotees they have become, but he himself was, rotting. So Narad Muni feels sorry for, compassionate for such a person, and he reforms him. So this is also described very beautifully in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prachinibari. Thus we find that Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very compassionate, and we find this compassion, overflowing compassion in the life of our founder Acharya Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, as everybody knows, won't go into the details, he met his spiritual master in 1922, but exactly, 45 years later he went to United States to fulfill the, expectation of his spiritual master. He goes there, and then he was wanting to establish, Krishna ISKCON actually in India. He goes to Jhansi, where, his efforts after a lot of time spent were doomed to failure. But then when he went to US, who were his clients, for imparting spirituality? They were people who were completely engrossed in sense gratification. For them, it was very casually they dealt with sex. They would have relationship with so many women. And Srila Prabhupada, and they were living, in Bowery, in very horrible condition they were living. And these were the type of people on whom Srila Prabhupada felt compassion. So, this is Bhagavatam's beauty. And Srila Prabhupada, what he did was that he, taught them the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he taught them Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave lectures to them. And slowly and steadily, he lived this statement. This Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate unbiased reader to higher perfectional stage of transcendence. He literally has lived this statement. It is not just that he is writing purport. That is realization. One who talks with realization and one who, just talks, for as a rhetoric, there is a lot of difference. So here Srila Prabhupada, is actually, reforming all these, people who were debauchees, who were drug addicts, who were drunkards, all these people, he reformed them and transformed them. A society of derelicts was transformed into a society of Vaishnavas. That is what Srila Prabhupada's greatest contribution is. And because of them, ISKCON was formed. So, if we ever have contempt for, sexuality, let us analyze our thoughts little properly. And Srila Prabhupada made use of those very derelicts, those who are sexually, stimulated, living such a, free-for-all kind of life. They became, Vaishnavas. They helped build, they helped establish ISKCON. They helped establish so many temples. So this was all done because of, Srila Prabhupada's greatness. That is our Param Guru, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because of him, the ISKCON was formed, and today all over the world, you know, is sustaining the lives of so many people. You find Srila Prabhupada's purpose not to be preachy, not just preaching, but they are very, very meaningful and they direct you to the right consciousness. So this is our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I had more things to say, but I would like to conclude because I think I have overstepped the time. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. Okay.